Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Mystery in drama is crucial, and the questions drive the narrative. Conflict then drives resolution, and resolution brings satisfaction. So what about the films that do not provide all the answers? And ambiguity poses curiosity. You want to know how I got these scars? Asks the Joker. Well, no, we don't. And we don't need to see what Michael Myers was like as a child either. The less we know, the better, and that sometimes even goes for the questions we wanted answering. But just because the phrase rings true with movies doesn't mean that filmmakers haven't developed a habit of giving us more info than we ever possibly could have wanted. Was Deckard a replicant? Where did the space jockey originate from? Why was the Highlander immortal? We didn't need to know this, and yet here we are with a bag full of answers and a profound sense of blur? I'm Ewan, you're watching What Culture, and here are 10 movie mysteries that should never have been answered. Number 10. Leatherface. The origin of Leatherface. Movie monsters don't come much more one-dimensional than Leatherface, but is that such a bad thing? Leatherface came from the imagination of Texas Chainsaw writers Kim Henkel and Toby Hooper, and was there to do one job only. The unwitting teens who found themselves on the slab are not saved knowing that the man who's about to end their lives had a rough childhood, or that there were mental health issues to consider, nor does the audience particularly care to find out. Then we were given Leatherface the movie. This prequel cash grab gave us the dreaded origin story. Jebediah Sawyer, now renamed Jackson, inmate at a mental institution and scapegoat in a series of murders committed by his family, cannot escape his destiny and stitches himself a literal leather face. Boring. Number 9. Hannibal Rising. Lecter's Origins. This movie villain of the absolute highest caliber almost got away with it. 4 movies, 1 non-canon, 3 books in, and all we ever had on Lecter was a bloody napkin and a recipe for a notable dark and glossy ragu, the constituents never determined. Lecter was, is, and always will be a cannibal. A human, but a murderer and a consumer of human flesh nonetheless. His intellect provides us with 2 things, character and method. The rest is simply circumstantial window dressing. Lecter is so appealing as he is brazenly unapologetic about not only his predilections, but of his very existence. He is a fictional force of nature, like a demon or a vampire. There is no real humanity here. If there was, he would be severely limited in his chosen hobbies. Hannibal Rising disappointingly applies the usual psychobabble to explain his fondness for human flesh, those being the horrors of World War II and issues with his sister's death. We didn't need to know, but on the upside, at least Brian Fuller's TV show did the story justice. Also, hashtag save Hannibal. Number 8. Donnie Darko, The Director's Cut. Donnie Darko was a near-perfect movie. The perceived distortions of a troubled mind, Darko's investigation of the apocalypse as prophesied by a giant talking rabbit, wax lyrical on the nature of time travel and determination. Director Richard Kelly, armed with cult success and 290,000 smackaroos, released an additional 20-minute edit, now with pages of The Philosophy of Time Travel, the expositional book, inserted incorporated into the film, attempting to explain the quote-unquote tangent universe as opposed to the primary universe. Kelly implied Donnie had the powers of a living receiver, including telekinesis and premonition. More unnecessary tinkering. Doubling down on his manifesto-like approach to the plot after the original went over the top of several million heads seems like art, but came across like vandalism instead. Why couldn't we, like Donnie, follow the clues and make our own interpretation? The worst crime, however, was the removal of the killing moon from the film's intro, placed later in the new cut. Number 7. Dracula Untold – Dracula's Origin. There have been more than 200 cinematic versions of Dracula, spanning nearly 100 years. That's a lot of fangs. The ironic legacy of Bram Stoker's creation is Dracula's own immortality. The book contains no origin story. The titular count has just always lived in the castle, but that hasn't stopped other writers from playing fast and loose with his history. When Transylvanian warlord and family man Vlad Draculia, Luke Evans, finds an enemy scout's helmet in a nearby stream, he realizes that war with the Ottoman Turks is imminent. He strikes a deal with a cave-dwelling vampire who grants Vlad vampiric powers for 3 days and nights. Only by drinking human blood will he transform entirely and live as an immortal. Forced to choose between the safety of his family and a deal with the devil, Vlad succumbs to the vampire's curse and a legend is born. Giving Dracula a soul, a family, and a mortality effectively disarms the character and our own desire to fight him, so why do it? It was fine in the Coppola movie, but he wasn't exactly sympathetic there. Here, he's meant to be an anti-hero, and it just doesn't work. Number 6. Revenge of the Sith – Vader's Seduction. Look, right, I love me some Star Wars prequels. Okay, maybe not the second, but that's a given. They're a wonderful bundle of fascinating ideas wrapped up in a not-so-excellently executed package, but it's my Star Wars, and I love them all the same. That is, except for how Revenge of the Sith details Anakin Skywalker's fall to the dark side. In A New Hope, Anakin's conversion is covered in one sentence. Vader was seduced by the dark side of the Force. The fact that he is Luke's father is irrelevant at this point. The link makes little difference to how he was turned. A seduction is also quite specific. This implies that Anakin was tempted. But this is where things kind of go a bit bad. Anakin turns to the dark side because he is tricked by Palpatine. Convert and I will save Padme. Upon his submission, Palpatine admits his ignorance. There is no seduction and no secret is revealed, so why go along with it? After 28 years of believing that Anakin had been enthralled by the power of the dark side, the whole conversion is based on a lie. Number 5. X-Men Origins Wolverine – Wolverine's Adamantium. Readers of the X-Men comics will be familiar with the Weapon X story arc, but not all mortals were familiar with Wolverine until 2000's X-Men movie. The question of his mysterious past not only spurs him on, but also drives the narrative of the main film. It's the question that's compelling yet again, not the answer. The nightmares that Logan suffers, the guilt and rage that drive him, are credible plot devices for the audience and made for great cinema. X-Men Origins Wolverine was a credible attempt to give us some answers, but as David Lynch understood, it's the question that is compelling. We may think we want closure, but the mystery is the addictive aspect of the story. Logan agrees to the adamantium procedure to give him the ability to fight Sabretooth, not because he was, as we were led to believe, an inherently bad person. After his escape from Alakai Lake, Logan is perfectly lucid, stopping at a farmhouse to use the toilet and get a clean shirt, not stricken with amnesia and without agency, like Bourne, for example. It's only at the end of the film that a well-placed bullet robs him of his identity, not the horrific effects of the procedure, as viewers were once led to believe. Number 4. Blair Witch – The Witch. Blair Witch, the 2016 sequel, had a genius marketing campaign. Trailed simply as The Woods, the film was even endorsed as a quote-unquote nightmare of classic proportions by Time Out over the teaser footage. When the film turned out to be a third film in the Burkittsville saga, fans were thrilled. When The Witch made an actual appearance in the film, however, fans were not so thrilled. Like a weird, gangly, stilted banshee, the Blair Witch went from horror enigma to franchise enabler. Exposed, demystified, unveiled, and literally walking around the woods naked like the unwanted offspring of Gollum and an albino giraffe, the Blair Witch's power to induce terror was popped like a balloon, which would have been considered considerably scarier than the movie itself. Number 3. Prometheus, the Space Jockey. The Space Jockey was the bizarre moniker given to a creature from Ridley Scott's 1979 haunted house in space nerve shredder, Alien. Designed by equally scary Swiss vampire H.R. Giger, the Jockey was a clue, a plot device placed on LV-426 to bring the unsuspecting crew of an Astromo to their deaths. The crew logically assume, like us, that the ship intentionally lands on the barren planet to maroon both it and the alien parasite gestating inside its chest. A signal is issued, not as a distress beacon, but as a warning to keep away from the vessel. Scott decided to expand the alien universe in a larger attempt at explaining the origins of the human race and the creation of a pathogenic biological weapon that would later become the Xenomorph itself. Using the Space Jockeys, now renamed the Engineers, as the literal creators of worlds, the once perfectly sublime plot device now changed the entire setting of believable world-building corporate mining missions. The decision had one noticeable effect, that of shrinking the universe of the alien and removing the mystery of the eponymous terror, now nothing but an experiment, or even worse, a pet. Number 2. Blade Runner: The Final Cut, Deckard's Humanity. Multiple versions of Blade Runner exist, but there are three definitive cuts. The 1982 theatrical cut, featuring a studio-sanctioned narration from Harrison Ford and a happy ending where Deckard and Rachel escape together. The 1992 director's cut, with an additional dream sequence minus narration. And the 2007 final cut. No narration, no happy ending, with the unicorn dream sequence and additional previously censored violence. The insertion of the dream sequence appeared to finally answer the question. Deckard's unicorn dreams are implants, otherwise how would fellow Blade Runner Gaff know to leave the origami unicorn in Deckard's apartment? Scott himself was emphatic on the question of Deckard's humanity, saying in 2012, he was a Nexus 6, so we don't know how long he can live, and that's all I'm gonna say at this stage. In the novel, Deckard takes the Voight-Kampff test and is implied to be human, so why would Scott, after starting the debate in the first place, try to weigh in with a definitive answer? It takes away the audience's ability to ask the question itself, and by proxy, much of the ponderous philosophical nature of the film and its continued discussion. And number 1. Highlander 2: The Immortality Origins. Highlander is a wonderfully kitsch 1980s fantasy flick that cast a Frenchman as a Scot and a Scot as a Spanish Egyptian, and despite any confusion that accents may have caused, the plot was as straight as an arrow. An ancient race of immortals will battle each other for the prize, the sum of all human knowledge. The only way an immortal can die is, as the late Sean Connery so eloquently put it, if your head comes away from your neck, it's over. The rest of the movie is cut between multiple time frames as Connery Ramirez instructs Christoph Lambert's McLeod on how to prepare for the Kurgan, Clancy Brown's brutal leather-clad psychopathic villain. McLeod, armed with a 2,500-year-old katana, severs the Kurgan's neck and lives out his days as a mortal, now armed with enough wisdom and knowledge to save mankind. Highlander 2 appears to be a sci-fi script that was repurposed for the sake of a sequel, with the origins of the immortals confusingly retconned into a story of exiled aliens on the planet Zeist. Ramirez and McLeod are put on trial by Zeist priests who sentence them to exile on Earth. Why McLeod doesn't recognize Ramirez on their meeting in the 16th century is never explained, and why Ramirez, born in the year 896 BC on Earth, is now from the same 1500 setting is never even mentioned.